Father, Lord, I come before you with a heart of thanksgiving, O Lord. You have done many things for me in this whole year. In my whole life, when I count each and everything that you started doing, I have only one thing to say. It is marvelous. Marvelous to my eyes, O Lord. Father, the same way you have been doing in your children's life, O Lord. Father, we thank you. The reason that you have come to this world, a virgin shall conceive, and a child shall be born, and he shall be called Emmanuel. Lord, Father, this is a joy for us. This is a happiness for us. You came into our hearts as Emmanuel, as you with us continuously. Father, we thank you, Father. We thank you for the love and kindness that you have shown. No one in this world has shown this kind of a love unto us, Lord Father. We submit ourselves before your love, Lord. When you gave your life, you had the opportunity to deny that. But you looked at us. You saw our low estate. And Lord Father, you thought about me, O Lord. I thank you, Father. I thank you. Everyone will say this, that you thought about me. Father, we thank you once again. Father, as Father today, Father, I am not worthy to use your word, take your word in my mouth, but because of your Son Jesus Christ, Lord, you have given us the word. Father, let it fill each and everyone's heart. Let the hearts be attentive, O Lord, Father, that Father, the word shall have a say in their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I wish every one of you a Merry Christmas and a happy and a prosperous New Year, because now the next time I'll be able to stand and say to all of you will be in the next year. So to all of you, my wishes, Merry Christmas and a happy and a prosperous New Year. Amen. 2026 be a blessed year for you all. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the preamble. The last message was about a sinner who was redeemed by the exchange that God gave. So this is part two. We will have this as part two, and there is one more. Part three is also there. So here we see that in that last message we saw a lady, a sinful lady, who was Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, who was a sinner and caught of the very act of adultery. We see John chapter 8 as a sinful lady. And in the very act of adultery, and she was facing death face to face. She would have been a pile of stones if not Jesus. He met at the right time, and that was the reason when she came to Mary came. She heard about Jesus. She came, and she brought the most valuable, precious thing that in her life that she was considering as the most precious thing, was the alabaster box. That she brought that box and threw it at his feet. Now, this, I have a question. Why did she break the alabaster box at the feet of Jesus? Why? Why did? What? There should be an intention of every act. So why did she throw the alabaster box? To each and every one of you, think about it. Think about it. Why she do that? So firstly, that she declares to the whole world that she does not belong to the world anymore, because she was pleasing her customers with that. Now she says that by throwing, she's saying that I don't belong to this world. That was the first thing. And the second thing is, she has found much valuable than this. which is a treasure, which is Christ Jesus in her life. So these are the two things that made her. You can add many more, but very important things that if you look at it, she saw Jesus dying at the cross. She had the privilege to be there and to see Jesus dying on the cross. And after burial, she was waiting outside the tomb to take his body. But you just imagine, she is standing outside and waiting for someone. She wanted to meet someone to take the body. And suddenly, she sees Jesus alive. I don't know how, because when we read the Bible many times, this is only a sentence. But when you really portray that, when you really have that experience, that Christ standing in front of you, the crucified, buried Christ, now he's standing before you, before your eyes, in the resurrected body. You just imagine the joy that when she sees Jesus alive. Just imagine what joy it would have been. It would have been to know that Jesus Christ is living, is Messiah, is King, is the Lord. So by that, she experienced these two things. She first time she saw someone buried, standing up, and he is alive. Now, when he was alive, she understood that he was no more a man. That she understood, what a joy it would have been. What a joy. Now, I very well think that she would have been the first person that Jesus paid the price by the death in real terms. Maybe some people might say that it might be the thief on the right hand side. But I consider this, because the thief met Jesus before his death. The price paid was his death. The death was fulfilled. After that, he meets Mary Magdalene, Mary. So here, where suppose with this joy, he's standing. And if she reads these verses, 2 Corinthians, I read this in the last message, 2 Corinthians chapter 5:14. If I or Mary Magdalene is reading it from the first person, it would be like this. Either way, Christ's love controls me. Christ's love controls me. You know, you see this joy, seeing him alive, and that love, out of that love, she says, Christ's love controls me. Since I believe that Christ died for me, and I also believe that I have died to my old life. She considers that I have died to my old life. Why? Because she sees Jesus alive. So she says, now you are my Lord. And the 15th verse, he died for me so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for myself. Instead, I will live for my Christ who died and raised for me. And the 21st verse, when we read in the first person, Father made Christ, who knew no sin, to be the sin on my behalf. Say, my behalf. So that in Jesus, I would become the righteousness of God, made acceptable to him and placed in the right relationship. So if you read it from the first person, how beautiful it is. You can personalize that prayer, that the last one, Father made Christ who knew no sin to be the sin on my behalf. that I would become the righteousness of God. Today, we will be looking at the person considers himself as righteous by his deeds. We'll be looking at two personalities. We will be looking at the prodigal son story. We have taken this before, but this is not from that angle at all. It is from a different angle. So we have taken this probably three or four years back, but then this is from a different angle. Here we will see how faith alone and not our works we will be saved. How by faith alone, not by works. You understand the theme is by faith alone and not by works or my effort. You will see very clearly, you will understand. If you listen, you will really be blessed how faith works and how our own efforts becomes a stumbling block. So there are two masters there, we know. One is the one is the father who is the most high God. He's the father who is the most righteous master. And then the other master is the cruel master whom was a master of another country where the prodigal son opted to go and work. And then the two sons. So we see the story is only about two masters and two sons. So two master we have already looked into. The two sons are, one is the right, both of them are righteous. Later he was called prodigal son because of his righteous living. So we see that both were righteous in their own ways. And the first one was a righteous boy. He asked for his share and he left to a far off country. Now we know that the obedient son had been working with his father for so many years, obeying all of father's commandments. So the prodigal son, when he left, he severed all the relationships and went to another country that he will not be. He was so righteous that he didn't want to be under his father or to be known as his son. So he opted to work. Finally, he comes he comes into the cruel master's under the cruel master. Why? Because he had financial issues, and because the way he lived, he spoiled all the inheritance of his father. He lost everything. He didn't have anything to say. And the time that he was under this master, he was not even given food. So we know that what kind of a life he was. And if food is not given, what about the dress? So that the dress is also not given. Dress is so shabby. It is so stinking. You don't know which one is more stinky, whether it is the pig or this person. It was so bad. And you have to understand that was his situation. He faced death in his life. See, everyone faces death. But he faced a different kind of a death that was invited by him. And that was all because of his righteousness. So when the death came, all the righteousness that he had no value. Has no value. All the big forts that he had, the forts, the mansions that he had, everything crumbled down before him. Where then he didn't have any other way to go forward. And then he thought of the most righteous father. The most righteous father, who was his own father. Now that picture came to him. He suddenly, when he thought about his father, he knew that he was so righteous. But the way that he left his father was like he The father was standing with a sad face, but sad face, thinking that he will come back, but he never looked back, and he took and he went joyfully. So when he thought about, he picturized that, he was thinking whether this father would forgive him or he would accept him. So he was thinking in his mind whether he will accept or not. So now, now when he thinks about his gracious father, which how he behaves to his servants, it came to his mind. It illuminated his mind. And then he compared with the present master. The present master and his father had no comparison. No comparison at all. It cannot be compared at all. Now, when he thought about his father, that how he was dealing with his servants, the love towards his father blossomed as a faith that I will go and father will not deny me. So I will go and father. So this love towards his father grew and flushed into his heart. This love became the faith that he had. It was more and more concrete. The love and faith worked as a truth in him. And then he thought we denied as a servant. But we know how the father accepted. Father accepted with all his dirt and smell. He was accepted. We know how he. So his self-righteousness was the reason that he said that I will not go back to my father. So here, by faith, that is the one thing that we have to know. The faith in Christ is the reason, the faith in God was the reason that he went back. Suppose if he had no faith in his father, if you don't have a relationship with God, and if you don't have a faith, how can you be sure that you will be accepted? He was sure that he will be accepted. So the faith was the reason that he decided to go back to his father. And we know how he accepted. And he accepted and the truth that we learn here is that all sinners needs God's righteousness. God's righteousness. Which is by faith, which is not by our works. This boy is not having anything to show his father that I was good. Nothing. He has got zero, minus, but still he was sure that is the faith. He was sure that he did not have anything to go and show his father, but he was sure that his father loves us, loves me and you. The heavenly God loves me and you. Amen. Amen. Now we go to the second son, the older, the obedient son. Let us look into what is the situation that he comes now. He comes from the field. He was still working. You have to understand that he was still working. An obedient and a faithful son. He had all years of good reports to show that he had obeyed. You read there that he had all good reports to show that he obeyed his commandments. He obeyed, and he was living with him, taking all his commandments, and he was living. Now he was the only heir for the father's inheritance. Until this brother came. Now, he heard the jubilation in the father's house, and he knew the reason for the jubilation. Now, he came to know that his younger brother who had spent all the money, whiled away all the money, has come back. Now, what was the attitude was that he was angry. We see that he was angry with his righteous father. He was angry with his righteous father. Why? Because Because his younger brother is accepted in the house. Now, I have got three questions for you. How should an earthly father behave in this situation? An earthly father, how he should behave? How you as an earthly father would behave when your son who's gone and comes back, whether he should be accepted or not? Yes. I'm throwing the question to you, parents. What? You will deny him? If you believe that you will accept, raise your hands. Some of them still believe that. All right. Maybe in their mind it is there. They have not lived it. So, will there be difference in the father's love for his children? Will there be, because he was living with me so for so many years, will that make a real change for between the two children? No. Can an earthly father consider him as a servant? No. Yes, thank you. No, earthly father cannot consider. So what about God, the most righteous father? So here, in Luke 15:28, he says, the elder brother became angry and deeply resentful and was not willing to go in, and his father came out and began pleading with him. Now, after pleading also, he is not entering in. He is angry with his father. He has broken which law? You have ten commandments, no? Which is the law that honor your parents, says honor your parents? It's the fifth law. It's the fifth law. Maybe you might not have read it now. Because I have read, I can say always fifth. It's right. All right. So he became angry. So he has broken the law. See, he was a righteous person. Now he himself breaks the law. You have to understand that by his words, why he was angry? He was angry because his younger son was accepted. So that was the reason father is pleading. He came down and pleading before him to kindly come in. But he says, no, I will not. I will not come in. He stood outside because, you know why, what is the reason? Pay attention to his arguments. See how he counts the righteousness before his father. 15:29 says, "These many years I have served you, and I have never neglected or disobeyed your commandment. Yet you never given me a young goat for my friends to celebrate." So here he says that I have served. See the words. I have served you for so many years and never neglected. He was a right servant of law. A right servant of law that he never disobeyed his commandments also. So you cannot say that he was wrong. Then the 30th verse, when the son of yours arrived, now he is saying, who has devoured your estate with immoral women, you have slaughtered and fattened the calf for him. That means you have accepted him. You have accepted him. Can you tell me why he was angry? Can you tell me why he was angry? It is not because that he did not give a calf. See, now the father says, I will give you two calves. Will he be happy? No, he will not be happy. The reason why he was angry was that he accepted him, which, according to him, was unrighteousness. See the importance. According to him, it is unrighteousness. What is unrighteousness? God's righteousness is unrighteousness. Can you understand? You understood? God's righteousness is to receive, is that he received his son. He says that you are an unrighteous. Why? Because his righteousness stands above Father's righteousness. He says, I have worked so many years. See how he spells out his righteousness. He says, I have done so much for you. And this your righteousness? What is your answer? What is your answer for that? So, here, suppose his father says, he will be happy only if his father treats his younger brother as a servant. If the younger brother is not accepted as a son and accepted as a servant, then he would have been happy. But he's not happy. Now, for father it is not like that. For father, that son was dead. Now he's alive. That son was lost, but now he received back his son. So here, pay attention to the verses here. 15:28b says, he was not willing to go in, and his father came out and began pleading with him. And the 31st verse says, the father said to him, son, you are always with me. See, now he's pleading with him. You know what is he pleading? He says, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. He says that all that is mine is yours. And then the 32nd verse, but it was fitting to celebrate. He says, it was fitting to celebrate. It's nothing, but it was celebrate that your younger brother came. He was lost, but he says no. He says, your righteousness is, yes, the older son was stubborn because it was he who had labored obediently for his inheritance. Cannot tolerate the father's righteousness of accepting a man as son when he has nothing to his credit. He has got nothing to his credit. He has got everything. He is comparing in the worldly way. He has got everything. He is obedient to even a small penny. But now, this work of his is now blocking him to the righteousness of God. That means to love his brother. So, in Romans 4:4, a person who works 4:4. Let us read that. Now, 4:4 says, a person who works is paid wages, but I've taken it from good news so that it will be more clear. A person who works is paid wages, but they are not regarded as a gift. When you pay wages, it is not a gift. If you ask a person to come and work, and then in the evening after his work he says, let this be a gift to you, what he will tell you? He says, what? So this is like, it's not regarded as a gift, but they are something that has been earned or a liability to be paid off, which the wages. It is like he has earned and a liability to be paid off. But the 5th verse says, but those who depend on faith, not on deeds, and who believe in God, who declare the guilty to be innocent. You see this? You see that verse. It's beautiful. But those who depend on faith, not on deeds, and who believe in the God who declares the guilty to be innocent. Guilty to be innocent is God's quality. His grace. It talks about His grace. And it is this faith that God takes into account in order to put them right with Himself. Because whatever is your righteousness, it is all filthy rags before God. Now, this here he says that who believe in God, who declares the guilty to be innocent. This, it is this faith that God takes into account in order to put them right with Himself. He values His faithful work. Who values? This second son values His faithful work far above the redemption of his brother's life. Far above. He says, you should not redeem because you see what I have done for you. And did not yield to the pleading of his father. Pleading. Father was pleading. He went down. When the younger son came, he went down. The same way now the older son is not coming in, he went down. It is showing his love towards his children. He went down and pleaded. Everything is yours. It was fit to do this. But he did not agree. Your righteousness under law cannot accept God's righteousness. Your righteousness under law cannot accept God's righteousness. God's righteousness is grace. Grace cannot be accepted by our righteousness. Because we are working much for God, you have to be very careful that you are doing many things, you are serving many ministries, fine. But always think that God has given you the ministry. God have made you to work. In Philippians 2, when you go down, it says that, it talks about that. God is at will to make you work. So God has made you do that. So, he values his faithfulness. Now, I am standing here and speaking only by the grace of God. If I was not under grace, I would have definitely been under the ground. Not like any other of others. For me, it was 100% sure. I always believe that I would have dead long, long back because of my bad vices. Your righteousness. So here, we believe that we are fulfilling God's law by our works. Hence, we cannot agree to God's righteousness of declaring guilty to be innocent. We are fulfilling all God's law by our works. Be careful. Be careful about that. When we are doing many things for God, when we are teaching in the school, you are there, you are here, and we are positioned in certain positions in the church or outside or wherever you are working, you have to always understand it's all the grace of God. If you don't understand that it is the grace of God, there is always a chance that you will always be fulfilling our works. Hence, you will not be agreeing to God's righteousness, which is declaring the guilty to be innocent. We saw that under the law, a righteous cannot accept a sinner as his neighbor. You know, in that Samaritan story, we know that the Pharisees, they were not able to fulfill the law. That is why he is asking the question. He is asking, how come that I can accept a sinner? Jesus said, you have to love your God. He said, okay, I am loving my God. But then he says, you love your neighbor. He had that question. How I love the neighbor? If a sinner is my neighbor, how I will do that? He is asking the question back. He is throwing the question back. Why? Because the law is blocking him to do God's righteousness. His own work, when I say the law, his own righteousness is making him. Because he considered himself righteous, how he can stay with a sinner? You understood? You understood? Clear, no? So, the law and the righteousness of law will always block you. Because you have to always understand, when we become a child of God, the most important thing that we have to see is that our works should not overtake us. Our works, there are all chances that we will fall for it. That is why Romans chapter 7 is so important. Romans chapter 7, and then it goes to 8. All right, so here, under law, steward, then the other thing, you know, the steward, three stewards were there. God gave talents. The last one who got one, you know, what does he tell about God? You are a hard man. How did it come? From his righteousness. He says, I have been working, but you are the person who sows from where? Who? What is it? What is that? From you reap. Yeah, you reap from where you have not sown. See the grace. That is again the grace. So he says that you are a hard man. He considers the grace as what? Considers the grace as cruel. He says you are a cruel person. Hard man means cruel, cruel person. So you see that all these examples, why I'm saying is our righteousness should not stand before us. Because then we will always say that I am standing because of my effort, nothing of our effort. And you know, this is the problem that we are all facing, that we all say Pharisees have this problem, but we have the problem. It's not Pharisees, we have the problem. I am having the problem. I don't know about you, but I am having the problem. Yeah, so Galatians 5:4 says, I want you to read these passages. You have been sized. If you seek to be justified through law, you have fallen from grace. So if you have been severed from Christ, if you seek to be justified, that means you have fallen from grace. You are no more in grace. The word says that you are no more in grace. You have been severed from Christ if you seek justification through law. So under law, grace is considered as unrighteousness. I mean, not actually, it is not. How the people consider, when you work out your works in tandem with the law and you say that I have been right as per the law, then the flaw comes. Then it comes and stands on your way and you fail miserably. So it is a self-righteousness of the older son made him angry and led to deny himself to enter into the father's house. So you understand the two characters. The first character was the younger son. The younger son, we know that the younger son has fallen totally. He was not ready to go back. And then finally, when he faced death, he understood that I have to go back. There is no other choice. My father is so good a person. Then that is the realization. That is the knowledge of God. Now, he wants God's righteousness. Now, this person who was 100% righteous before God, he was 100% righteous before God as per law. But because he was depending on his works, when it came to the real test, he failed. And he himself denied his path towards the heaven. He was denied, not by God. It is our own actions which is denied. So then, Romans 1:18 says that for all this unrighteousness, these are all called unrighteousness towards God. For all this, you think that there is no result? There won't be any punishment? Our days are going fast. You know, my days when I see my younger days, no one will understand that it was the same person. Now I have changed a lot. So these days will go further, and within no time, many of us will not be here. Then, after that, what will happen? If we believe our faith is 100% right, because Hebrews chapter 1 says, our faith has got something. It is not a blind faith. It is based on evidence. The second verse says, it is based on evidence. So, we have evidence and we believe. It is not a blind faith. It is by evidence. So, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold truth in unrighteousness. Now here, ungodliness means what? Ungodliness means what we earn, we are taking the glory to ourselves. That is ungodliness. We take all the glory to ourselves. See, all the sins you say, that all comes under this one self. All the sins, we can differentiate into many, 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 many. All this comes from one sin. This is yourself. You are making yourself God. And God becomes an alien for us. So that is what, for all the ungodliness, taking glory to himself, and unrighteousness. Unrighteousness means he will consider his work, his self, as the most important, and he considers grace as unrighteousness. So unrighteousness means he considers all of God's as unrighteousness, and he says, mine is righteous. Mine is righteous. So for these, this is working in every heart, not in me, in all of you. But God has given us the grace to understand which is going against God and which is going well with the world. So God has given the wisdom to you. It is your choice. And this choice has got a reward. This choice is some commandments and stipulations. Like you have IPC, Indian Penal Code. You know IPC. That talks about this is the thing that you will get. This is law. If you do this, if you steal, this is it. If you do, the IPC is the basic thing that under which the sin is judged. So the same way, the law is only that you come to know about sin. God cannot save you. Law cannot save you. Law cannot save you. By the knowledge of the by law, it is only the knowledge of the sin. Now, Galatians 3:21, the B part says, for if the law had been given which could impart life. See, the law could impart life unto you. The law would have been the standard. You understood what I'm saying? See, the law is only some commandments. That cannot do anything. So, here, Paul says that law cannot do anything. It only gives you some information. That's all. But when you consider Galatians 3:21 says, For if the law had been given which could impart life, if it could impart life means, if law could give his life for us. Law cannot give life for us. If he could impart life into you, then the righteousness would have been actually based on law. See, in the Ruth story, in the Ruth story, there are two redeemers. You know, we have taken that story. There are two redeemers. One is a very close relative of, not Ruth, Elimelech, who is her father-in-law. Is a very close, it was a very close relative. He was supposed to be the first to redeem than Boaz. It was not Boaz. Boaz is only standing as a second. The first person should be that person. And that person comes and says that, if you can read Ruth chapter 4, 6, the closest relative said, I cannot redeem it for myself. Because by marrying the Moabitess, I would jeopardize my own inheritance. I would jeopardize. That means I will lose. That means tomorrow the law is not a law. Because the law says something that you cannot save, you cannot redeem a sinner. And law, if this person is going, he stands for law. This person goes and redeems that person means the law is no more there. The law is contradicting itself. So he says, no. See the word. If I marry her, I would jeopardize my own inheritance. That is law saying that I cannot redeem you all. This is law saying directly to you, I cannot redeem you all. But only Boaz can do that. Boaz now steps inside in his place. He steps inside and then he marries Ruth. By marrying Ruth, he becomes a curse. Jesus became a curse for us. The same way, the curse fell on whom? Boaz. So, because he married a cursed lady. Now here, Jesus loved us, he redeemed us, and he became a curse for us. You understood? So it is, you see that the law cannot redeem us. If we follow the law and do everything according to the law, the problem that we are going to have is the law cannot redeem us. Rather, only we, from our sins, we need a redeemer. But that is not law. You understood? You understood clearly? So that is not law. So here, in Romans 10:4 says, for Christ has brought the law to an end, so that everyone who believes is put right with God. So Christ is the end of law. Why Christ is the end of law? Why Christ is the end of law? Why Christ is the end of law? Christ is the end of law because the fulfillment of the law and more was done when God came down. That is what we are celebrating now. When God came down, when he came down to this earth, he fulfilled more than what is written there. Now you see someone who is above the law. You understood? That is why the word of God says that Christ has brought the law to an end so that everyone who believes is put right with God. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you are put right with God. Why? Because he was God himself. His being was God. Philippians chapter 7, 2:7 says that his being itself was God. But he came down as a servant. Now, point number one. We have come to know the prodigal son as a sinner who rejected the saving grace. But later on, when there was no way, he accepted the saving grace. So we need a redeemer. Then, the point two, we also have come to know that the most righteous son, as per the worldly standards, declares that the saving grace is unrighteous. That is very difficult. For God to save a righteous person is very difficult. You know why Jesus had to go through all the sufferings in each and every in each and every part of his body, he had to take the suffering. Why? Because of our righteousness. We always said that your unrighteousness, your grace is unrighteous. So that was the reason Jesus had to come. Now, finally, this unrighteous person is not ready to even see the sufferings and then change his mind. For that, he had to really go through the death. The death. Only by death. Only the death, our unrighteousness could be removed. When we die, only when we die together with Christ, only when Mary Magdalene said that, I am dead to this world, at that point of time only, she is dead to this world. We need to die to this world. So that is the most important thing. Only when Jesus paid that ultimate price. The ultimate price is what? The ultimate price is by paying by death. That is what you hear. He says, O Lord, why have you forsaken me? That he tasted death. He called, not Father, O Lord. Why? Because he tasted death. He was not in the presence of God. God, we read that he turned. We will be studying that in the next session, in the next message. So he had to pay the ultimate price. Now we see in 3:21. See, in 3:21, the beauty is that 3:21 says, "But now the righteousness of God, apart from law, is revealed." This is a wonderful verse. Now the righteousness of God. Now the law is saying, see this person. See this Jesus. This is the righteousness of God. The law, because Jesus was the one who fulfilled all righteousness of the law. The whole righteousness was fulfilled. Now, the law says, this is the person I am talking about. This is the person whom I am talking about. So, we read that the righteousness of law was revealed apart from law. Now, not through law. Jesus came apart from law. His righteousness was more above the law. That is why it is mentioned that the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by law and prophets. What does that mean? Being witnessed by law and by prophets. The law says, he has fulfilled my righteousness. The law says, he has fulfilled. This is the witness. And then the prophet says, The prophet says, when it was asked, Isaiah chapter 7:14, the Lord himself give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. God is with us. So you see that God now, he has given the sign. That is what we are going to celebrate in this coming week. That God has given us a child, and he shall be called Emmanuel. So that is the sign. And this is the one who the law and the prophets say, this is the person. This is the righteousness of God. There is no other righteousness of God. Law says, he has fulfilled all righteousness of mine and more. And the prophets say about him and his sufferings and his death, how, where he comes, and what is, how he is going to resurrect. Everything is mentioned by the prophets. So the prophets and law stands as witness. Now, we need to have the prayer points. Can you all just stand? Maybe for 5 minutes, because you have already sat for quite some time. We'll stand for some time so that you will have an exercise also. So if you think God has spoken to you, if you think God has spoken to you, are you stubborn within your heart? Are you stubborn like that old son? Are you stubborn? Is your stubbornness seen? Is your stubbornness seen? The second question I want to throw is, is the stubbornness hurting your relation? Your relation maybe with your spouse or with God. Is this stubbornness? You know, when we all stand, when I see from here, when I was preparing this, the stubbornness of my heart was standing. I could see the stubbornness of my heart. I was thinking that I am doing something. Not now, in the last couple of months. Then God brought me down, and he said, no, you can do nothing without me. Is your heart a stubborn heart? You are not accepting his grace. Are you considering his grace as unrighteousness? Do you think that your rights are denied? Many times, how do you find your righteousness? Husband will deny your rights. Wife will deny husband's rights. You see this going on. This is self. This is the self-righteousness within us. When we fight between husband and wife, we fight not because of my problem. I fight with my, I was very rough to you. I will never go and say, it is my unrighteousness. You did not do this. You did not do that. And why did you say that? All these questions will come. Do you feel that your rights are denied? Are not valued? If you believe that, the unrighteousness is in you. The unrighteousness is present in you. Not was there, is there now. And are you considering the saving grace as unrighteousness when it comes to forgive others? When it comes to forgive others, do you consider the saving grace as unrighteous? Do you consider the saving grace? When you don't forgive others, you have received so much of forgiveness, and if you are not able to forgive others, then you are considering your saving grace, what you received, as unrighteousness. You are considering the self-righteousness is within you. Don't look outside. It is within you. Husbands and wife, we have to love each other. It's only a matter of sorry. Forgive me. Yes, sorry is one word. You know how valuable it is? We are not ready to do that. Just can you close your ear, eyes and everything and say, in the name of Jesus, I am sorry. Can you do that? You will see changes. It's a very powerful word. Yes, your rights are denied. Come closer to the altar where the high priest has given the full price. He had the option to avoid his sufferings in Calvary, but he accepted all in full because of my righteousness and your righteousness. He did that only. He said, when Pilate said, I will send you back, he said, no, I don't want anything. Unless my father says, you don't have the power. He did not agree to him. Why? Because of your righteousness and my righteousness. Our righteousness are standing as a stumbling block against us. It is stopping us to go to heaven. Will you step into 2026 with a new decision? The first decision would be, I would forgive my wife. I would forgive my husband. I would love my wife. I would love my husband. This is the first thing. Don't pray for anything. Do this first. Your children are going to be spoiled. They are going to be the next generation. They are seeing how you are dealing with your wives and husbands. And they are doing the same. You want a cursed generation, or you want to be a blessed generation? Jesus sees your weak estate. He is looking at you as he looked from the cross at Peter. Peter denied three times. He looked from the cross and he looked at him, not to say that you have done three times. He looked at his weak estate. He's looking at your weak estate. Can you say sorry? Can you use the word sorry? Romans chapter 6, 14. You are under grace, for sin will no longer be a master over you. If you are under grace, sin will no longer. Because grace is what you receive from God. And in grace, when you deal things, you will forgive your wife, you will forgive your husband, you will love your children in a different dimension. You will spend time with your family, you will spend time for your children. I don't know whether this is going to anybody's heart, but I know God has a purpose for me to say all these things. I wanted to finish the whole thing, but God said, this is enough. Talk to them. Talk to their hearts. They are stubborn people. I am stubborn. Because of that, I was brought down. I couldn't write this thing. It's only God's grace. Let's submit unto God. Let us pray that His grace, I will never say no, Lord. I will never say no by not forgiving my wife. I will never say no to your grace by doing harm to my wife, using bad words to my wife. I will never do that. I will never call grace as unrighteousness. Father, forgive me. Let all your hearts melt before God, not before me, not before anyone. Let it be melted before Christ, whom he has given as a witness, he has given us that a virgin shall conceive, and he is Emmanuel. He is going to live in you. Let us submit unto him for a minute. Lord, I want to start 2026 with a new step. I want to be a different person. I don't want to be my bad habits haunting me. Father, I pray, Father, for me and for the hearers, Lord. We are unrighteous before you. Father, show us the unrighteousness, O Lord. We are like the prodigal, not prodigal son. It is, we are like the older son, O Lord. Father, we always think that we are right, Lord. When we speak to our wives, our spouses, we always say that we are right. Father, forgive us. Father, forgive us. Today, Father, touch those hearts that have melted and poured before you. You are the most high priest. You are holding with the blood. You have come with the blood to be poured as a sacrifice. Father, let that blood be poured upon me and to the hearers. Father, Lord, I submit this time unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. If someone wants to submit to God, this is the time. You can raise your hands from there. I am very sure that there is none here who is not having righteousness. I am very, very sure. May God see your hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us share the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen.